Broadcasting on 88.4 MHz in Berlin, 98.7 in Potsdam. Succubus transform free from your imaginary. They have never wished to turn into women. They are creatures, one of their own imagination. They're demons or what? They are what they want now.
Trying to find a way out of their roots rotten language.
We aren't user-friendly.
Wir sind nicht benutzerfreundlich.
Administrating people.
Menschen verwalten. Ego, ich. Selfish. Terror.
The pain is flavor.
Meine Liebe kommt vor.
We were trying to hook ruins. The government had pushed a lot of words on the voice of disappearance.
Ich will eine Meerjungfrau sein. Das hat etwas Gruseliges. Okay. Devant le gouvernement.
Vor der Regierung. Témoin et testicule ont la même racine.
Testify and testicle haben die gleichen Wurzeln. Haben sie dasselbe Problem? Témoin.
Bist du Pfennige?
Sie wissen, dass der Eisenmangel bei Frauen auf den Menstruationszyklus zurückzuführen ist. Natürlich. Ja, das... Tut mir schrecklich leid. Ganz klar, dass es nicht an ihrer Provision liegt, dass ich anämisch bin. Nichtsdestotrotz werde ich mich jetzt auf Sie übergeben, auch wenn Sie damit nicht ganz einverstanden sind. Sie brauchen das nicht persönlich zu nehmen. Das ist gar nicht nötig.
Energie triumph. Flammender Glitch, der Mond kollabiert. Sing, meine Liebe, es könnte es aufhalten. Wer weiß, was sie entscheiden werden. Sie sind dunkler als blau, das hab ich seither gelernt, immerhin. Immerhin. Vom Protostaat reden wir im Netz Geisteszustand, leben wir vandalismussichere Dating-Apps, Piraterie am halben Himmel. Lebende Tod der Polemik, staatenloses Ganzes, Ersatz meiner Erinnerung, 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 Erinnerung.
Haut alle ab! Haut alle ab. Haut alle ab, haut alle ab, haut alle ab.
Keine Angst, aktiv zu sein. Please, please. Keine Angst, massiv zu sein. Please, please.
please, 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 please.
Pegasus wears a glittering headpiece that changes shape according to her moods and her environment. An ornament that assumes its strangeness and sometimes intimidating functions. Part of her hair is arranged in several pompons spread inside the half circle formed by the headpiece. The rest is woven into several braids which end in shiny tips. She wears a translucent dress that vibrates with a slightly fluffy scale pattern. Impossible to decide if it feels like a shell or a plumage. Transparency confuses Pegasus' body and her dress. The air is only halfway through, but we feel it. Our world stinks. Since a few days, Pegasus' movements are less supple, less widespread. She gets closer to the statues and seems to dry to their shadows. The dress has shrunk on her body. Her headpiece still shines, but now she tells us that the stones that adorn it are fake. Why justify herself? What is it, Pegasus? Her dress overstates her, does not understand her. They no longer move together, no longer reflects the turmoil of the scales. They dry up. The body veil of Pegasus seems rough, breakable, like the one of the stuffed animals. The girls surround Pegasus and hum a stormy melody to irrigate Pegasus. In full breath, they hear the public opinion shouting, "Souls, why doesn't Pegasus shine anymore? She looks like a shredded straw bale. Her scales stink. Her skin stinks. She scares us." The public opinion is almost crying. The sentimental disgust bent Pegasus. Her tall body has huddled. Even her buffalo shoes seem to decompensate. She heard the public opinion. She has resisted so much before. But this time, the words forced in. The girls gather around her. "Pegasus, don't flinch. Don't become their undead. Your life is not theirs." Pegasus gets worse this time. Her dress engulfs her. She now looks like the bird covered in oil. The public opinion is shocked. "We don't want to see these birds of misery anymore. We have seen enough. She makes us feel bad. We are afraid. Help us, help us." And the public opinion cries while pressing the palms of their hands very hard on their eyes. And Medusa chokes. Blindfolds are a bad augury. Medusa taught the girls to laugh and cry with their eyes wide open, to not turn to stone, to watch and deal with the petrifying powers, and to scream, to stop, to burst, to girls. But now Medusa chokes. Medusa will not swallow the discomfort of the public opinion, won't swallow the gilt-knitted sex cover that hides their disgust from others. Medusa chokes because they refuse to swallow those who make Pegasus suffer. The girls are about to petrify when they remember Medusa's advice. They burst. Laugh in the body of public opinion that whines with palms pressed into their eyes, all pressure to weep. The girls point at them. The public opinion doesn't see their pointing fingers but hear them roared with laughter. Then the hesitation. Cover your eyes or bandage your ears. Laughter wins. You won't be able to ignore us for long. Then Medusa smiles slightly. Air enters through the corners of their lips and gives them the strength to burst out laughing and spit out the petroleum hates onto the appalled public opinion. Let's all very loud and fall into each other's arms,
The girls almost choke on their laughter. Drool. Medusa likes people who drool with laughter. They find the air of laughter. They look at our eruptive beings, to be of those that live with the weavings of the world, to encourage us to the power of laughter, which engages us in the here and attaches us in the now.
I began to read Antigone and her critics to see if one could make a case for her exemplary political status as a feminine figure who defies the state through a powerful set of physical and linguistic acts. But I found something different from what I had anticipated. What struck me first was the way in which Antigone has been read by Hegel and Lacan, and also by the way in which she has been taken up by Lucy Irigaray and others, not as a political figure, one whose defiant speech has political implications, but rather as one who articulates a pre-political opposition to politics, representing kinship as the sphere that conditions the possibility of politics without ever entering into it.
I want to be a mermaid. There is really something creepy about that.
Ich habe es satt, von pubertierenden Gangstern angebellt zu werden wie von wütenden Chihuahuas. Hypergebotoxed am Steuer ihrer BMWs, superstarke spermatophore Bande, eskortieren ihren Ständer in Truppen, Schaum auf ihren offenen Hosenschlitzen nach einem giftigen Perlenfick. Sie an uns Hand anlegen lassen? Niemals. Sie uns zermürben lassen? Niemals. Die Dimensionen der Macht. Komfort, Hashtag Komfort. Aufruf der Zeitgenossen. Vibriert es in der Ferne? Ein Gesetz, welches uns um jeden Preis füttert, uns aber unserer Leben beraubt. Bandagieren und wickeln. Die nukleare Familie ist der Fick zwischen Staat und Gesetz. Das Monster explodiert weit weg von denen, die es geboren haben, und alles ist in Ordnung. Der Rest hängt am Tropf, unfähig, sich zu verändern, aus Angst, ihre unbefleckten Privilegien zu verlieren. Lassen wir sie nicht rein. Die Bullen in unsere Straßen, Häuser, Schulen und Bäuche. Die Tattoos auf ihren Armen helfen ihnen, sich zu tarnen. We can see through the fabric of the wall. Überqueren sie die Podeste und verlassen sie ihre Nation. I wanna be a mermaid. Yeah, I know, but there's something creepy about that. Are you sure?
The very strange thing about choking is that one can choke even while eating the most delicious of foods out there. Maybe especially with such foods as the greed to devour a delicacy rapidly with little focus on mastication, more on consuming, might lead to the diversion for peas from its track towards the oesophagus into the trachea. In the process of choking, a tender prong would block the upper airway and prevent oxygen from entering the lungs. Within 4 to 10 minutes, the lack of oxygen flow to the brain would lead from a reversible to an irreversible brain death, if no one comes to your rescue. When the banality of breathing is obstructed, death is imminent. Let us afford ourselves the luxury of making a couple of suppositions related by analogy to choking. The institution of the Enological Museum or World Museum seems to be in the midst of a serious crisis of choking. The delicacies that most of these museums have acquired, which is to say co-opted, which is to say ingested, usually under the most dubious of conditions, ranging from blatant looting to petty theft, blackmail and acquisition for little money, preying on the greed and naivety of some sellers. In the best spirit of predatory capitalism, including historical and ritual sculptures, fabrics, artworks, artifacts of all kinds, human skulls, skeletons, over the course of history of ethnological museums, seem to have collectively missed the track to the oesophagus and got stuck in the respiratory tract. Actually, they have been stuck there for as long as the history of mass collections, acquisitions, and looting, for as long as the ruthless and ongoing extraction of cultural property has occurred in the former colonies outside of Europe. In the case of the Museum für Völkerkunde Berlin-Dahlem, this has been since its foundation in 1873 and its opening in 1886. The coffin caused by the choking throughout the Ethnological Museum, World Museum, Universal Museum, is becoming loud and blaring, and while some people are dashing off in a helter-skelter panic, others are running to slap the Ethnological Museum on the back or punch it beneath the diaphragm with the hope of rescuing it at this late stage of choking. But just like in every choking situation, rescue is only possible if the delicate muscle blocking the windpipe is spat out.
Act 3. The very strange thing about choking is that one can choke even while eating the most delicious of foods out there. To diagnose the choking, one might have to look at hubris. There's a certain arrogance of strength and greatness that would restrain one from pleading for help, even if one were at the threshold of the yonder. Even when one is choking and air is tight. The kind of condescension, not only for the other, but also for oneself, masked under the guise of power. The power that typically accompanies and emanates from patriarchy. The hubris which smells of the debris of coloniality or the longing for a time gripped by the claws of the colonial enterprise. One Paul Gilroy wrote in After Empire, Melancholia or Convivial Culture that the inclination to romanticize colonial times reveals itself in our contemporary as an unhealthy and destructive post-imperial hungering for renewed greatness. He could just as well have been writing an essay on the Humboldt Forum. It is this hunger for greatness that urged the rebuilding of a former Prussian palace in the middle of Berlin. This could be held as a masterclass on the reconstruction, the rewriting of the history through architecture. The one-to-one reimagination of the Hohenzollern residence, whose foundations were laid in 1443, reconstructed around 1700 as a Baroque residence, demolished after the Second World War, restructured from 1973 as the Palace of the Republic, in which the People's Chamber of the German Democratic Republic met, but which was also a place of happiness and sociability for citizens. Shut down after the fall of the Berlin Wall, and from 1998 to 2008, gradually demolished to make space for this rebuilding of the palace. Perhaps this wouldn't be a problem if this building and the institution it represents didn't symbolize a manifold erasure of histories and an exaltation of monarchical and imperial systems. It is not unusual to hear that, after the fall of the wall and the reunification of Germany, West Germany usurped and moved on to fully replace East Germany. Every effort was made to wipe out a system deemed retrograde, and to implement a capitalist democratic system, befitting the 21st century that lay ahead. Not only did the people of the former GDR lose, expeditiously, their social, economic, and political structures and ways of life, they also lost their bearings. As their street names were changed, monuments were contested, political figures chastised, identity questioned and shamed, and history challenged in an effort to erase the communist past. This, what is considered by many as a takeover of the GDR by the Federal Republic of Germany, is at the root of a lot of frustration in the eastern part of Germany today, which has led to proto-fascist sentiments, a radical shift to the right, and xenophobic attacks on foreigners, who have become the scapegoats of both the political system and the besorgte Bürger. Director of the Berliner Festspiel, Thomas Oberender, ruminating on why the Alternatives for Germany party became so successful in the former GDR region, stated, 30 years after the fall of the wall, Germany is building a Humboldt Forum to bring Humboldtian surveys of the world in line with German colonial history. For this, the Palace of the Republic was demolished, and in its place, nothing reminds one of it. How does one reflect on this inner German colonialism, this national roof damage? Does it imply that there is nothing left to worry about regarding the history of the GDR except the deaths at the wall and the Stasi? What remains of the GDR is a reminder of victims and perpetrators of injustice and failure and misbelief. This is the whole truth. Architecture as tool for the erasure of history, or construction as eraser. The destruction of the Palace of the Republic as one coordinate in the tradition of tabula rasa urbanism. Tabula rasa and reconstruction and means of maintaining what Annibal Quijano calls the coloniality of power. On the other hand, the rebuilding of this palace in which objects and subjects, war booty and otherwise, from all over the non-West will be displayed and framed under the auspices of Humboldt, must also be seen as a remembering, as in re-piecing together, as well as reminiscing about, and as a reinstituting of a historical era of Prussian greatness. This greatness was also characterized by the Brandenburg-Prussian endeavors to set up colonies on the West African coast in the 17th to early 18th centuries. With the establishment of the Kurbrandenburg Navy around 1676 and the Brandenburg African Company in 1680, the great elector, Friedrich Wilhelm, sent commercial and military vessels to set up forts and colonies in West Africa. The Freigate Morian reached the Guinea coast in January 1681 and facilitated the building of a fort on the land of the Ahanta people on the coast of present-day Ghana, as well as commercial posts for the trading of gold, pepper, ivory, and people as slaves. So did Brandenburg Prussia enter the transatlantic slave trade, selling an estimated 15,000 to 24,000 Africans in the years between 1680 and 1717 over 124 trade journeys. It should be noted that approximately 10 to 15% of these human resources did not survive the sheer brutality and harsh conditions of these trades. King of Prussia, Friedrich I, continued the colonial endeavor after the death of his father, the great elector, in 1688, but later sold Prussia's colonies to the Dutch West India Company in 1766.
Spirits inhabit the darkness that lightens, the darkness that darkens, the quivering tree, the murmuring wood, the water that runs and the water that sleeps. Spirits much stronger than we, the breathing of the dead who are not really dead, of the dead who are not really gone, of the dead now no more in the earth. Listen to things, more often than beings. Hear the voice of fire, hear the voice of water, listen to the wind, to the bush that is sobbing. This is the ancestors breathing. Barago Diop, spirits. One must acknowledge that the readiness of some Western museums to send back the human remains, skeletons and more, to the previous colonies is a great moral and ethical gesture towards humanity. Finally, a recognition of their humanness. After centuries of objectification of other humans as tools, resources, utensils, and labor that enabled slavery, colonialism, and racism, these museums and other scientific institutions seem to have realized that it was and is improper, unethical, immoral, illegal to have used other human beings for their experimentations, for their purposes of constructing otherness, for their goals of dehumanizing fellow human beings. Or have they? It is important that we remind ourselves that other humans were treated in this way under the guise of promoting Western civilization, Christianization, and modernity. Now let's assume that the days when you would go to an ethnographic museum and see the skull of your great-grandfather are over. Let's assume that morality and ethics permit the skulls to be locked up in boxes and stored in cellars, but not kept in the open. Let's assume that one day, when their provenance has been properly sorted out, all these human remains will be laid to rest alongside their people. All of this because it has finally understood that Africans, Latin Americans, and Asians too have subjecthood and possess subjectivity. Since Western institutions now recognize that these human beings are not objects but subjects who once upon a time possessed personhood and agency, consciousness, and realness within their societies, these supposed objects must be sent back. Yet when many Western museums and institutions wrongly and forcefully harboring many so-called objects from the non-West do not understand or have not yet fully recognized, is that most of the so-called objects have never been and never will be objects. The objectification of these ritual and spiritual beings, historical carriers, cultural entities, orientations, and essences, is in line with the dehumanization and objectification of humans from the non-West. If the skeletons had been delivered from objecthood, it is about time that the so-called objects also be freed from the bondages of objecthood, in which they have been detained ever since they're taken away from the societies as captives, as were humans as slaves. Understanding these so-called objects as subjects necessitates a radical shift from Western understandings of subjecthood, personhood, and community, as well as a drastic shift from a Western understanding of art, authorship, and society, and subsequently, a profound reconfiguration of what it means to be human. Firstly, to understand the subjectivity of the so-called objects, one must be able to understand that some of them are indeed the ancestors of, and for some of us, not representations of ancestors, as might be the case with a painting in a church or an effigy of Jesus or a portrait of one's great-grandfather. No. Rather, some of the so-called objects must be seen as incarnations, embodiments or personifications of our ancestors. The transformation from a life of flesh to a life of wood or metal or clay. The corporealization of some of those who have passed over to that place of yonder. Indeed, one must see some of these so-called objects as the yonder. In this case, how do the objects that we now begin to see contain subjects differ from the skulls that are currently being repatriated? They too have personhood, agency, and consciousness. I, for one, do not have any interest in seeing my ancestors in whatever form, skeletons, wood, or otherwise, in a museum. Secondly, to understand the subjectivity of the so-called objects, one must be able to understand that some of them are indeed ritual entities that too possess subjectivity. As such, they contain the possibility for healing, mediating between women and gods, and conscious of the dynamics of communities as they protect individuals in society. The so-called objects have feelings and desires. They hunger and thirst, and this is why they are fed, given sacrifices, prayed to, and appeased in various ways, to avoid them shedding their wrath on us. If agency is that capacity to act and make choices, then the so-called objects also possess agency as they determine, act upon, and wield power over individuals and societies, and most especially hold perspectives for their societies. As Alain René and Chris Marker pointed out in their 1953 classic, Statues Also Die, the placement of these ritual beings in glass vitrines in well-tempered museums in the West is a form of murder. Thirdly, to understand the subjectivity of these so-called objects, one must be able to understand that some of them were created or emerged within traditions or understandings of arts that stand at a yawning gap from Western traditions of artistry. In Thili to the Pali, The Path of the Red and Black Ink, Gloria and Zaldúa writes, "My people did not split the artistic from the functional, the sacred from the secular, art from everyday life." Where Zaldúa was heading to here was a differentiation of what she called an invoked art, an art invested in performance ritual from the non-West and Western artistic practice. And Zaldúa points out that invoked art is dedicated to the validation of humans, whereas most Western art is dedicated to the validation of itself. Invoked art, she writes, is communal and speaks to everyday life. And Zildjua thus argues that in indigenous cultures, art-making aligns aesthetics with spiritual, functional, and social contexts. She points out that making art for art's sake or for the purposes of mastery, as is common in Western cultures, leads to the objectification of art. And Zildjua believed, just as her people did, in art's capacity to make change, to heal, to mend, and to validate humanity. The difficulty for Western museums to recognize these qualities of the so-called objects as subjects lies then in the sheer discrepancy in the perceptions of what art is and can do. In this light, subjects from Africa, Asia, Oceania, and Native American cultures lying captive in ethnographic museums around the world are condemned to objecthood until they are repatriated and rehabilitated to subjecthood.
You are listening to Wabaza Salon on Colabo Radio, broadcasting on 88.4 in Berlin, 90.7 in Potsdam. We are here to take a radio show now, to change your mythology, to change your script, no more imagination for the system. You will breathe on every corner,
calle me he dejado los pies, octubre ha sido largo, no sé qué día es, pero hay una cosa que sí que sé, que las balas que tiraron se les van a devolver. No tengo miedo a tu repe, me cago en tu toque queda y ya no vamos a callarnos hasta que esto se resuelva. Queremos quemar este sistema de mierda, revolución, insurrección, revuelta, perdigón en mi cara, perdigón en mis piernas. Si no tenemos balas, respondemos con piedras, con todo lo que aprendimos, ahora te lo damos vuelta. Venganza por nuestros muertos, venganza por nuestras muertas. 2019, loco, ¿quién lo iba a creer? De un salto de torniquete a un salto por el poder. Hay uno que decía que esto no iba a aprender, y cuando se despertó, vio que todo empezó a arder. Desde el día uno le pusieron vandalismo, va a ser como si no fuera en contra del capitalismo. Trataron de simular que el pueblo se puso crítico, aunque en todos los canales los discursos son los mismos. Ellos tienen los medios, nosotras contracultura. Tú lo llamas guerra, yo lo llamo dictadura. Ahora cada grito es un golpe a tu estructura, y se fractura como fracturan los pacos con sus lumas. Están en control facho los medios de comunicación, nos están aplicando su doctrina del shock. Video de saqueo y de disturbios un millón, pero justo no hay ninguno sobre la detención de todos los que torturan en la población, de los milicos acusados de agresión y violación, de los millones que ganan con la privatización, de cuántos se parecen la injusticia a la represión. No tengo miedo a tu repe, me cago en tu toque queda y ya no vamos a callarnos hasta que esto se resuelva. Queremos quemar este sistema de mierda, revolución, insurrección, revuelta, perdigón en mi cara, perdigón en mis piernas. Si no tenemos balas, respondemos con piedras, con todo lo que aprendimos, ahora te lo damos vuelta. Venganza por nuestros muertos, venganza por nuestras muertas.
No hemos ganado nada de lo que hemos pedido, ni con marchas, con bailes, con palos, ni con gritos, pero le perdimos el miedo hasta los milicos. Estamos reconstruyendo el sentido de lo colectivo.
Ay, bicarbonato en spray, si te tiran lacrimógenas, de vuelta las tiráis al sistema neoliberal. Lo queremos quemar, quemar. Desigualdad, muestran todos los porcentajes. Políticos que ni cachan el precio del pasaje. La clase dominante domina con montaje, pero ya sacamos de la plaza todos sus tanques. Y ahora somos distintos, ahora sabemos más, ahora estamos más vivos, sabemos la verdad. Y de verdad, ¿crees que nos va a engañar? Ahora esto tiene pa' largo, ya siéntate a esperar que alguien se crea del gobierno la excusa. Si la empresa rompe más que 10.000 capuchas, yo no creo en tu pa', no soy tan ilusa. Al fin nadie les compra, ahora
para el pueblo es el que lucha. En la calle me he dejado los pies, octubre ha sido largo, no sé qué día es, pero hay una cosa que sí que sé, que las balas que tiraron se les van a devolver. No tengo miedo a tu repre, me cago en todo lo que queda y ya no vamos a callarnos hasta que esto se resuelva. Queremos quemar este sistema de mierda. Revolución, insurrección, revuelta, perdigón en mi cara, perdigón en mis piernas. Si no tenemos balas, respondemos con piedras, con todo lo que aprendimos, ahora te lo damos vuelta. Venganza por nuestros muertos, venganza por nuestras muertas. Siempre barle, vamos, vamos a darle. La peluquería Records. La peluquera, la peluquera.
Public opinion is made up of individuals who are nailed down by the patriarchy. When the girls and Medusa laugh, they interrupt them in their daily lunches, in their rituals of intoxication of the world, inhibit them from laughing because the laughter is not contagious. When they laugh, you choke, and that's how they progress from this simultaneity of reactions. This morning you have breakfast outside of everything. Nice view, good disposition, in your privileged position. There, unwrapped from the others because you wanted relentlessly to protect yourself. You choke yourself. But maybe we don't slap you on your back this time. We let you call the air in vain. We let you asphyxiate this morning. To feel how rare the air can be for you too. We absorb the air you no longer consume and love. When you change, if you change, there will be more air. So maybe we will laugh at the same time or even together. But right now, Medusa makes you choke. Their tentacles touch us all. You too who eat in your 10-star tower. Serpentine, you cough, touched by all. The girls look at Pegasus, who has regained air since the public opinion is choking. She gets up, is reached by a tentacle and follows it to join Medusa. They stand in front of the public opinion. At the sight of them, the stunned public opinion opens its mouth slightly, allowing the air to enter and stop the spasm and swallow the poison mucus. Pegasus bends over slightly, holds back her braids with one hand, places the other on Medusa's shoulder. Medusa spreads their serpentine hair, and together, spit. In front of them, spew on the ground a half circle, spot after spot. The slime separates us. It disgusts you. And it's normal. It's a spell as old as the world to prevent the passage. We don't want to embody your dominant bodies that serve only to crush others. We spit. But the circle is not complete. We will not isolate ourselves. We need to see you choke, to keep the right distance to hit you, and maybe one day slap you on your back.
Vibrators, girls, come out of the vapors. Speak, next you. Squeeze us to scream, to shout. Who has no anger will not leave. Who has no anger will not leave.
Was wartest du von deinen Worten? Gefällt mir keins, wird keines mir gefallen. Und also bin auch ich dir nicht genehm, ob zwar ich's andern bin mit was ich tat.
So glaubst du, andere sehen's, wie du es siehst.
Auch diese sehen's, auch diese sind betroffen. Du, der nach Einigkeit schreist, vom Zwist erlebst du.
Hier erst leb ich vom Zwist und dann im argivischen Feld.
Freilich, so ist's, und wo's der Gewalt gegen andere brauchet, gegen die eigenen braucht's der Gewalt dann.
Mich dünkt, mich also gönnte die Gute den Geiern. Und nichts machte es viele Thebe so uneins. Fremder Herrschaft einmal zu!
Immer droht ihr Herrschenden doch, die Stadt wird uns fallen. Hinfallen wird sie uneins einmal den andern und Fremden. Und wir beugen die Nacken euch und schleppen euch Opfer und hinfällt, also geschwächt einmal den Fremden, die Stadt uns.
Sagst du mir, ich würfe die Stadt den Fremden zum Mahl vor?
Selber wirft sie sich vor ihm, den Nacken dir beugend. Denn es sieht der Mensch den Nacken gebeugt nicht, was auf ihn zukommt. Nur die Erde sieht er und ach. Sie wird ihn bekommen.
Schmäh nur die Erde, verworfene, schmäh nur die Heimat.
Falsch ist's, Erde ist Mühsal, Heimat ist nicht nur Erde, noch Haus nur, nicht wo einer Schweiß vergoss. Nicht das Haus, das hilflos dem Feuer entgegensieht. Nicht wo er den Nacken gebeugt, nicht das heißt er Heimat.
Und heißt es und schirmt's nicht? Dich heißt die Heimat nicht mehr die ihre, sondern verworfen bist du wie beißender Dreck, der besudelt.
Wer verwirft mich da? Weniger sind es geworden in der Stadt, seit du herrschst, und werden noch weniger werden. Warum kommst du allein? Du bist mit vielen gegangen.
Was vermisst du dich?
Wo sind die Jungen, die Männer? Kommen sie nicht mehr?
Wie sie doch lüget, jedermann weiß nur, das Schlachtfeld ganz zu säubern von letzten Äxten sind sie mir aus noch.
Und dir die letzte Missetat noch zu verüben und eine Furcht zu sein, bis ihre Väter sie nicht mehr erkennen, wenn sie am End wie reißende Tiere endlich erlegt sind.
Sie schändet die Toten.
Dummer Mensch, mir ist nicht zum Recht, haben zumute.
Are you choking, Patriarch?
Nos plats aigres irritent vos palais. Nos plats aigres irritent votre 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 palais.
Fabricious girls come out of the vapors. Speak exhumed. Squeeze us to scream, to shout, to shout.
Fabricious girls come out of the vapors.
No anger will not leave. Who has no anger will not leave.
To shout, to shout, to shout. Who has no anger will not leave.
Mm-hmm.
Daphné et ses gogo boots t'envoient en bobo shoot into your bobo suit. Straight to a terror beat, your dream faint in the Cyprian. Lost your supreme. Depth to the world wide, to the conquered cities drove to starvation. You forgot cities never sleep though. End of your tour now, no stars in invasion. Unleash the Kraken, ha ha ha. I lick and I let you vanish, I'm wet. The moon are so sweet. Squeal down, pussy palmet. Warm against each other. Acting together, far from your patriarchist behavior. We left competition to your pals. Oh, are you choking, patriarch?
You will realize how in fact we are already everywhere.
You will realize how in fact we are already everywhere.
Change your mythology, change your script, no more imagination for the system,
no more imagination for the war system.
You will break every corner of this channel.
You will realize how in fact we are already everywhere.
Ta vie s'évanouit. Tu rêves de Cyprine, mais t'as pas compris. Elle est à nous, girls. On mouille plus pour toi. Détrôné, c'est fini pour toi. T'as trop fricoté avec le patriarcat. Scooby-dooby-da. Plus que de la baisse des enfers. Ta mère. C'est avec nous qu'elle va se la faire.
Plus la baisse des enfers, ta mère, c'est avec nous qu'elle va se la faire. Faites les enfants de l'entête entre nous, ça flambex.
Trust pas le futur, tire-le à toi. Danse du climat, finira partage ceux qui y croient pas. True news, y'en a plus le patriarcat morin. Pas de circonstances atténuantes. Attends-toi à crever du mal.
Daphné, c'est good. T'envoie un beau bouche. Into your suit. Straight to a terrible. Your dream faint in the Cyprian, lost your supreme. Tattooed wine to the conquered cities, drove to starvation. You forgot city never sleep, oh. You forgot city never. And now your turn. No stars in the ambition. Unleash the Kraken.
Platz haben, wo schlecht angezogen sind. Natürlich stimmt das Bild schon lange nicht mehr. Aber darüber hinaus ist das Problem eben nicht mit den Dosen hier vom Netto, sondern mit Anzug am Schreibtisch oder stehen mit Uniform auf der Straße. Welche Ideologien, aber auch rassistische Gewalt sitzen tief in deutschen Behörden. Alte Nazis halten der BRD beim Wiederaufbau. Vom VS zum BKA finden sich unter den Gründervätern Leute, die früher hochrangige Nazis waren. Das sieht die Regierung aber nicht als Problem. Im Jahr 2005 wurde die Bundesregierung mal gefragt, in welchen Bundesministerien eine bzw. bzw. keine Aufarbeitung der nationalsozialistischen Vergangenheit stattgefunden habe. Im Namen der Regierung antwortete das Innenministerium, die Bundesministerien verfügten aufgrund ihrer Gründung in den Jahren ab 1949 über keine nationalsozialistische Vergangenheit, die der Aufarbeitung bedurfte. Allerdings müssen wir uns bis heute mit dem Problem rumschlagen. Alleine in Berlin liefen im Januar 2021 47 Disziplinarverfahren wegen Rechtsextremismus bei den Bullen. Die Kampagne Nazifizierung jetzt von der IL dokumentierte bisher 572 rechte, rassistische und neonazistische Vorfälle bei den Sicherheitsbehörden, wobei fast täglich neue hinzukommen. Und die Dunkelziffer wird viel höher sein. Die Fälle reichen dabei von rechtsextremen Chatgruppen, Vertuschung rechter Gewalt über rassistische Übergriffe, Datenabfragen in Polizeicomputern zur Bedrohung von Aktivistinnen bis hin zu Bullengewalt, Misshandlungen und Mord und Gewahrsam oder auch Organisierung in rechten Terrornetzwerken. Dabei sind Strukturen wie der NSU 2.0, Hannibal, Nordkreuz und der Neukölln-Komplex nur die Spitze des Eisbergs. Dass die Behörden auch in der Breite voll von autoritären Hunden sind, ist allen klar, die von der deutschen Dominanzgesellschaft ausgeschlossen sind und schon mal Kontakt mit Polen und Justiz hatten. Der Rassismus, die autoritäre Tendenz und die allgemeine Bereitschaft zur Diskriminierung durchzieht die gesamte deutsche Gesellschaft. Dass sich das auch bei den Cops findet, ist also erstmal keine Überraschung. Das brauchen die ja selbst, wenn sie von Polen als Spiegel der Gesellschaft reden. Es geht dabei aber nicht um irgendwen, der halt rechts ist, sondern um Institutionen des Staates. Diese Leute entscheiden über Leben, dürfen Gewalt anwenden und bestrafen, weil der Staat sie dazu befähigt. Da ist es zum einen bereits ein Problem, wenn die ganz individuell rechte Einstellungen haben. Gruppenbezogene Menschenfeindlichkeit verlangt je nach Gewalt, danach den Ausschluss auch tatsächlich umzusetzen. Wer in den Sicherheitsbehörden arbeitet, kriegt dazu auch noch Ausbildung zu Gewalt und die Mittel für Ausbildung des eigenen Betriebs. Das Gewaltmonopol von mit Rechten durchsetzten Behörden bedeutet, dass Nazis in Uniform linke Demos wieder knüppeln können. Dass Rassistinnen Befürchtete an den Außengrenzen misshandeln. Antisemitinnen für den Schutz jüdischer Gemeinden eingesetzt werden. Dass Sozialchauvinistinnen Obdachlose schikanieren. Makapolen zu sexualisierten Übergriffen gerufen werden. Oder hochgerüstete Soldatinnen mit nationalistischen Weltherrschaftsfantasien in Kriegsgebieten töten. Dank der deutschen Ehrfurcht vor der Uniform handeln TäterInnen in Behörden mit faktischer Immunität. Von den 83 AfD-Faschos im neu gewählten Bundestag sind 13 teils ehemalige Angehörige von Sicherheitsbehörden. Das Ganze wäre schon schlimm genug, würden die Behörden einfach Rechte besonders anziehen. Aber es geht darüber hinaus. Selbst wenn der oder die einzelne Beamte kein Arsch ist, die Sicherheitsbehörden sind an sich eine Institution der Gewalt und der Ausgrenzung. Abschiebungen, Prügel, Übergriffe und Gewalt gegen Schutzsuchende sind deren Aufgaben. Wir müssen dieser Tage nur nach Polen an die Außengrenze gucken, um zu sehen, wie die Polen da einfach ihren Job machen und mit einem Diktator darum wetteifern, der schlechter mit Flüchtenden umgehen kann. Die Struktur der Bundesrechts. Selbst wenn nicht rechts war, als er oder sie bei den Cops angefangen hat, wird sich der rechte Struktur üben müssen. Bundesland heißt, rechte Taten für Leute wie sie. Das ist nur das normale Denken und auch linken Themen oder Racial Profiling am Flughafen. Rechte Strukturen und rechte Einstellungen müssen sich zu den Rahmenbedingungen dieser Gesellschaft. Schaffen ihre eigenen Bedingungen, bis rassistisches Vorgehen nur noch normale Polizeiarbeit ist. Kein Wunder, dass sich da Rechte so wohlfühlen. Ein weiteres Beispiel für die rechte Kontinuität in Sicherheitsbehörden ist das Vertuschen und die Weigerung des Verfassungsschutzes, die Anschläge und Morde durch den NSU aufzuklären oder aufzuarbeiten. Nur durch den institutionalisierten Rassismus und rechte Strukturen in diversen Sicherheitsbehörden konnte der NSU ungestört migrantische Menschen ermorden. Auch 10 Jahre nach der Selbstbezahlung haben die Sicherheitsbehörden kein Aufklärungsinteresse und halten ihre Anwohner verschluckt. Oder das Leben der Opfer nicht schützenswert genug schien, um die Identität der V-Leute. Da sich von selbst nichts verändert und die Rechten sich seitdem sogar noch mehr institutionelle Macht sichern, fordern sie Aufklärung und Aufarbeitung der Morde des NSU, Aufklärung des Neukölln-Komplexes, Anklage der Mörderin von Urialo, Achini John, Laia Kotlo und allen weiteren. Und schon gar nicht von innen. Sie sind keine Sicherheit. Wir können uns nicht auf sie verlassen. Beim Kampf um die freie Gesellschaft ohne Nazis, ohne Rassismus werden uns die Behörden nicht helfen, wenn sie uns nicht sogar bei den Versuchen angreifen. Antifa bleibt Kampfarbeit. Rechte Strukturen angreifen und zerschlagen.
For two questions that the play poses are whether there can be kinship, and by kinship I do not mean the family in any specific form, without the support and mediation of the state, and whether there can be the state without the family as its support and mediation, and further, when kinship comes to pose a threat to state authority and the state sets itself in a violent struggle against kinship, can these very terms sustain their independence from one another? This becomes a textual problem of some importance as Antigone emerges in her criminality to speak in the name of the politics and the law. She absorbs the very language of the state against which she rebels, and hers becomes a politics not of oppositional purity but of the scandalously impure.
Thanks you. Squeeze us to scream, to shout. Who has no anger will not live. Who has no anger will not live.
We don't realize how it's fucked. We are already
This radio piece is a proposition by Stefania Rosciano with an order of appearance. Trying to find a way out of their roots rotten language, a sound piece by Léa Roued and Stefania Rosciano, written for the Belluard Bolwerk Festival. Air Call, a tale in several chapters published on ABBA's website, Berlin Alexanderplatz. Written by Stefania Rosciano.
Antigone's Claim by Judith Butler, Columbia University Press, 2000. Read by Nguyễn Thị Minh, Ho Chi Minh City University of Education.
Those who are dead are not ever gone. On the maintenance of supremacy, the Ethnological Museum, and the intricacies of the Humboldt Forum.
A book by Bonaventure So Bei Cheng and Di Kung, published at Archive Books in 2018, lecture at the International Conference in Parasite, Hong Kong, with co-reader Hera Chan, Chantal Wang, and Cosmin Costinas.
Miedo a tu repre, me cago en todo que queda y ya no vamos a callarnos hasta que esto se resuelva. Queremos quemar este sistema de mierda. Revolución, insurrección, revuelta.
By Siempre Barley. Antigone by Bertolt Brecht, written in 1948 from the movie Antigone by Daniel Huyet and Jean-Marie Straud, made in 1991. Girls. Poem part of the tale Air Call, written by Stefania Rosciano. Fight Back, an extract of the demonstration recorded around Lichtenberg in Berlin on 13 November 2021. Music of the generic Sef Dalidza, That Other Girl. Thank you for listening.
He never knew what I was made of. He couldn't melt me, cold couldn't cave me. He
To be that other girl.